Okay, so as I said, download these first three. You're just unzipping them.
I did it.
Okay. Oh, come on. I think I put it on E. I did that, didn't I? What did I just do?
I was too busy looking at it. I have 2 gigabytes worth of programs on my flash drive.
Is that all? Okay, I swear I already downloaded it and put it on the E drive. Not bind on click 12, it's bind on click. Ah, come on. Yes, okay. And left them with the same name. Are you okay? Set on.
No. Check this one.
started with Bind on Click.
Bind on Click, yes. Okay, so I'm going to go over this, and then
you can start doing something with this.
Okay, the first thing that you have to do when you're writing these is we have to write these in two input lines, and they go above the public class. And what we're doing is we're importing things from the Visual Basic Library that will let us deal with SQL client. And SQL server is what we're doing. And so we have to type those two lines so that it will import the things that we need to be able to do this program. Okay? So those two lines are critical. And when I was playing around with this last week, I was writing one and I forgot to put the two lines in. And it was giving me the strangest errors that I couldn't figure out what they were. And then finally dawn broke on Marblehead, and I realized I hadn't put the two lines in there. So I have to do that. Okay, so I would suggest you read in the book the theory of the database, because they do a fairly good job of explaining that. And I would also suggest that you look to the end of the chapter, and I don't remember what chapter number it is, but to the end of the chapter, they do how to create a SQL Server database that you can use. So they create that and show you how to create that. And we'll look at that on Thursday. But I decided I'd like you to read that over and play with it a little bit, and then we'll try it on Thursday. Okay? Now, in the past, I had done, the book had done, and I had done this connected to Access. And so the connection string that I have here depends on what I'm using. So I brought up an old one. No, I guess I didn't bring up an old one. I thought I did. I think the one that I just didn't put in a folder. That would be it. Okay, the connection string here was the connection string that I used when I was using Access. Okay, and that's the connection string I had to put in. And it's a very much copy and paste thing. So that was the connection string when I was using Access. Okay? So the big thing was to find out the connection string for SQL Server. So I'm going to close this one down because I'm done with it. I just wanted to show you that. And this is the connection string for SQL Server. And I'm trying to remember where I found it, but anyway, just copy and paste. Okay, that's the connection string that you can use for SQL Server. And the big thing that I put in here is this is the database right here, is the DonorDB MDF. So if you're using a different database, then you're going to put a different database name in there. And an SQL Server database has an MDF extension, okay? So you put in that, and that tells you that it's using that particular database. And as I said, right now, in Visual Basic, it's set up so that you can create an SQL Server database within SQL, within Visual Basic. Okay, so it's kind of nice, and that's the part I would like you to read about. So I have DonorDB MDF there, okay? Now, if I go back out and I go to this program. No, that's not it. Hopefully that will tell me. Why am I not seeing that? I swore it was on the E drive. Well, we will look for it later. But essentially, the database is stored inside the program, so it's ported with the program, okay, and it's inside the bin, and it is stored there inside the bin on the database. And I don't know why I'm not finding it, but I'm not. It's been that kind of a bit. So what I'm starting here is I have the two import statements. And then I define a row index that I was going to use as an integer. And then I define donor DT as a new data table. Now, if I'm going to use more than one group of data, I will set up a data set. And a data set can be made up of multiple tables. But in this case, I'm only using one table, and so I set it up as the table. Okay, donor DT is a new data table. Then onload, okay, the button click, and that's the onload button, my onload. I want to put in a current path as system environment current directory, and that gives me the path to my data. Okay, so that I can use the data. Then I put in a connection string, and this is the connection string that is specifically for SQL Server. And so you just want to make a copy of this and use this. I used exactly the same line in all of my programs that I'm going to show you, because I use DonorDB in all of them. If I use a different thing than DonorDB, that I need to change that part. Okay? Then I came down and I said, all right, dim SQL string as select asterisks from donor. So that's where I am telling it what I want to get from the table. Okay? So I said, select asterisks from donor. Then I said dim data adapter as new, and the adapter is the thing that brings the data together with the location. Because notice that I've got connection string and I've got SQL string. So that's bringing together the select, which is selecting the data, and the connection to the database, okay, and the connection to the database as being done in SQL. I mean in SQL Server. Okay, so I then say, okay, the data adapter is going to be an SQL data adapter, and it is going to bring together the things that I select from the donor and where it is, so it's the connection string. So I'm bringing those two together. And then I say, okay, now take, and the data adapter, use it to fill the donor DT. And the donor DT is what I defined up top as a new data table. Okay? So then I want to fill the text boxes, and I'm going to run this so that you can see what it's doing. Okay. So I've got an ID and a name. And when I click on load data, it loads that. It does this load. Okay, this is my load, as I said. This isn't the click event load or the event load. This is my load. So when I click on the load, it loads the data. So I click on that, and it loads the data. And the very bottom of this says, after you fill the donor DT, do the function of fill text boxes. And here's my procedure, fill text boxes. It's not a function, it's a procedure. So I'm doing fill text boxes. So in there I'm saying text ID number dot text, which is the first field, is equal to go to the donor DT rows that the row index is pointing to. And every time it has executed a line, it moves on to the, it will move on to the next row. Okay? So the row index and then ID number. And what moves it on to the next row? I should have said it. This routine down here. Okay. So it is going in right now to the donor DT, which I filled from the donor adapter. And it is using the row index. And I could have said the value on that, but it starts out at the beginning. And it's grabbing the ID number. So I could have just said select ID number name, because those are the only two fields I'm using. But I happen to say select asterisk. So it takes the ID number and puts it into the text ID number text box. And it takes the name and puts it into the name box. Okay? And there it sits. Now, if I want to set up here the next record, I click on next. And next moves over to the next record. Okay? So here I'm saying, if row index is less than the donor row count minus 1, then add 1 to row index and go fill. Otherwise, I'm circling back, so check row index equal to 0. I'm circling back, and you can see that. If I click on the next, I go to Carl, then I go to Susan, and then I go to Nancy and Robert, and then I start back with Stephen again. And so I go through the whole thing, and then I just circle back. Now, I could have, instead of circling back, I could have had put all the messages says you're done or something like that there. But I just circled back. So I set the row index back to 0 and said fill the text boxes. And so Stephen Daniels came up again because he's the first one in the list. Okay, so I'm saying row index less than Jonah T rows count minus 1. So it's counting the number of records minus 1. And then it's saying, okay, add 1 to row index, and it moves on to do the next record and the next record and the next record. Okay? So I am moving through and handling each record as I go. Okay? And as I said, the database comes with this. And so if you bring up, go in and you've downloaded this database, right? Okay? And you will find that the data is right inside. And in fact, you can end up copying it, which is what I did. I created it for the first one that I did, and then I just copied the database and put it in for the next ones that I was doing. So that's the first one.
And there's no, I'm now thinking of SQL as like what we do when we log into Pipe.
Right.
There's no password or anything like that or anything?
No, no, because you're, no, you just go right into Visual Basic. And so you're doing it inside Visual Basic. So, if you want to change the select here, you can do a select, and instead of saying select asterisk from donor, you could say select asterisk from donor where ID number is less than 33333, and then you're only going to see certain records. So if I come in here and say that select ID name, I can do pick the both of those. So select ID name from donor where ID number is less than 33333, then we're only going to see records that meet that criteria. So the select is telling me what records I want to see, and I only pick two rows, so I can say select ID number, comma, name from donor where ID number is less than 33333. Okay, so now I'm loading the data, and there's Stephen, and then I say next, and I go back a lot sooner because I happen to know there were 3333s on there, and I didn't hit those. So I can go back in here and set the select to be very specifically what the records that I want to see. And I'll only see the records that meet the criteria. Okay? If I wanted to put another box on, I can put another box so that I show another box of information. And then I can go in and select three things or whatever. So the select is determining the data that you have available, and then I'm just taking that data and showing it. Okay? So this is a fairly straightforward, easy piece of code. Now what we're going to get into when we start looking at what's in the book is the book uses the wizard. And it does all of this stuff using the wizard. And that's a lovely thing, except when the wizard decides, first of all, I can never remember the steps, so I have to look at them. And number two, when the wizard decides to get temperamental, you know, it's out of luck. But you can do all this stuff with your own code. Okay? The wizard could do this, or you can do it. Okay. Questions? So we're going to stop this one and close it.
And that loads it loads a copy of the database into the program, into the Visual Basic file itself.
I put the copy in there.
Okay.
So let's actually open it back up. And maybe it was in SQL Erver VB. Make sure this is the right one. Yes, it is. Okay, so if I go to E Drive, and oh, I've got it by date. I want it by name. No wonder. SQL Erver. Bind on click 12. Okay, so there it is. And if I go on bind on click 12, if I click on that folder right above, and I click on that folder, and then I go into the bin and debug, there it sits. There's DonorDB MDF. So that's where it sits. And when I wanted to put it into another one, I just took a copy and paste and
copy that over.
That's the log that goes with it that they keep track of use and all that. You don't need that. But that's a log that they keep track of that goes with it. You don't have to move that. In fact, is it off? I thought that went away, actually, when you, when it was turned off. It was only on when you were on. Okay, so there is the database, and I can just take this database and move it to another folder and put it in the bin debug, and it will find it and use it all right. That's what I did, going from one to the other. I created it once, and then was too lazy to create any more databases, so that's why I used Donor for all of them, and just took and copied and pasted that into the next one. And the nice part about doing this, you can carry it externally. And obviously in the real world, you'd be carrying it externally because you want everybody working with the same database. But for testing purposes, it's perfect because it now is portable. So I did this at home and brought it in here and it ran perfectly. So it's portable when it's in there, which is, you know, if you have it as, with an address and everything, it's much more tedious when you're playing around. Okay, so the next one that I want to look at is the grid one. And that is VB Grid 12. Okay, first of all, this is a data grid. Okay, data grid view. And if you go into data, you can grab the data grid view from there. Okay, so if I go into my toolbar and get data, and then I'm grabbing the data grid view and bringing it over. So there's the data grid view. Now, if you look over here on the dock, if you click on the middle thing on the dock, it fills the whole form. So if I click on this middle thing, it fills the form. Okay? Okay, so there's my grid that I've set up. And so now I need to look at my code, and if I right-click and say View Code, it brings up the code. So, again, I've got the two imports, and again, I've got the database, the connection string to donordb.mdf, okay? So, on this one, I said, I'm setting up a dim donordt as a new data table. I set up current path again as systems environment current directory. I've got the select asterisk from Dona. I've got the data adapter connecting the string
and the connection. And then I fill the DonorDT the same as I did before. And then I simply say when I have a grid, and I don't know why this is down here, I'll make that extra paragraph go away. I just say put the DonorDT in, make it the data source for the grid. Okay? And let me get rid of that extra subroutine. So if I run this, there it is. And so I've got all of the fields in there because I did donor asterisks from donor, select asterisks from donor. If I had made that a much more limited thing in the select statement, then I would have a much more limited thing showing up. Okay, but you can see on the last one when I said less than 333, there were two records that didn't get shown. And those are now being shown. So if I go in and change the select, okay, I can do that. What I want you to do, because I want to make sure that you get it so that it's connecting right, is do one of these two. And this one's probably the easiest one to do. But just take a few minutes and try doing something like this. Use my database, copy and paste it in, make your select a little more limiting or something. But I just want to make sure that it's making the connection all right. And so I do it with the grid one. And I did this just in the load event because I just wanted one thing, which was to show it. Obviously, these names can be changed, and sometimes I do that, but I found that if I keep them and call it connection string, SQL string, current path, I don't make as many mistakes. Some of them that I've done, I've got more exotic names. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get into the lizard at all. If you click on that little arrow at the top of the, it gets you into the wizard.
How do we get out?
That little thing right there gets you into the wizard. And that little diamond that points outward right under the X can get you into the wizard.
Yeah.
What?
My computer.
Defaulted to C++? Well, you'll probably be getting there in C++. Have you done anything with databases yet there?
Not yet, no.
Okay. If you're actually typing that line out, you're a braver person than I. I have never done that. I definitely do a copy and paste.
I think I accidentally closed the other one, so.
Yeah. One that I guarantee I would flunk. Copy and paste is a wonderful thing to do on that one.
I don't know what I keep on over here. You can just see it out. It's one.
Where are you?
Over here. It's not up on the list here.
Okay. The database you just take and copy.
Okay.
If I'm going to do this, are you in Visual Basic? Because that didn't look
right. Yes, I am.
It didn't look like
It doesn't look like mine.
I know. I don't know what's going on with this computer.
Are you sure that right at the beginning you went into Visual Basic and not C++?
No.
Okay. I sort of believe you, but not sort of. So I go in here and I find this made empties and I just click on it and say copy.
Okay.
And then when I get over to the other one that I'm creating, I click on bin and debug and put it in the debug of the new one that I want. And it worked fine for me last week when I was writing a few more. So hopefully it will work fine for you. Because I only made one database. What?
I was wrong. You're right.
You're in C?
C.
Okay. You didn't have to admit it. But I'm glad you did. Yes. You definitely wanted to start out in Visual Basic. And a couple of people have done that recently. I didn't think you were taught in here at all. So I don't know how it got set to C++.
Mine was actually C#.
Oh, C# it was set to? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't recognize it. Like, what is all these curly braces?
You know, Lindsay reminded me of that in the class, and she said my biggest mistake was going into C at one point. And to tell the others not to do that. To break?
Yep, I broke one time today. So I need to take the database.
So if I'm starting a new one, okay, so I'm creating one called Grid Again or whatever. I'm going to bring up the toolbox and get the data control and drag the data grid over. And once I get the data grid dragged over, then I'm going down and click on Dock So I've got the data grid grabbed over. I'm going down and clicking on dock and saying that I want that full thing, and that dock's the full thing. And then I'm going to say view code, and I'm going to paste my code in there.
Yay. I got a database.
Yay. And I thought I had copied and pasted it, but maybe I didn't. Edit. Copy. Edit. Paste. Okay, so I called it DGD Basic 12. And so I've got to go back to my design. Yes, I understand it's a problem. Stop bugging me. Okay, grid again. I've got a form. I messed it up too. Okay, so I want to call this D, what did I call it? DGD Basic 12. DGR, I think. No, DGD. Okay, so I've got that in there. And then I've just got to copy my database over, right? So I go to the other one. I'll go actually to where it is. And it's the E drive. And it is SQL Server. And the grid one, it doesn't matter what I do. What did I call this one? Grid again. So I come in here and go to SQL. Did I save it in SQL Server? Grid again. Where did I save this? File, save form as is the way I always check. No, just on the E drive. So go to the E drive, and there should be a thing called grid again. There it is. And go to the bin and go to the debug and stick that in. And I claim that should work. And it did. Okay? So that's pretty much what you went through, right?
Yep.
How are you doing, ma'am?
Good. popular.
So that, going through that again, so that's basically, I had to copy and paste, since the only thing I had on here was a grid, I had to make sure that I had named the grid correctly. And once I've named the grid correctly, then I can just copy and paste the code right in, as opposed to typing it. And then I had to bring over the database and copy that in, and it worked. Okay. And then someplace I have a picture that I want to take. Okay, the next one that I'm going to look at is the one that said file open. What was the name of that one? Basic, right? Save that one. Just called it basic here for some reason, but it comes up as ADO current 12. Okay, this is using the currency manager. So I again set up the two imports. And I have my donor DT as my table, I have a row index, and I have DIM current manager as currency manager. Okay, so I'm setting up a currency manager, and that is part of Visual Basic. That it has a currency manager. And the currency manager manages where you are. Okay? So then I come down and I have the current path is the system environment current directory. The current string is my SQL server string. My select is still staying select asterisk, and my adapter is still combining the two. And then I said, use the adapter, what you get from the data at that location, and fill donor DT. Okay. Then it comes down and it says, okay, fill text boxes. Okay. So it has now filled the text box. Okay. then it's going to use Currency Manager, and it is saying I am binding the Currency Manager, and I am starting it out at zero. Okay, so I'm binding the data in the data to this Currency Manager that's going to manage my currency, the current place that I am. And so if I want to go to the first one, I say, okay, the Currency Manager is going to be equal to zero. And that obviously is the first one. So if I click on first, I am seeing Stephen Daniels. If I click on last, I'm seeing the last name. If I go to next after last, I'm circling back. And then next, 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 and then whoops, I want to go to previous, previous, next, last, first. So I'm moving all around with the Currency Manager. Okay, so what the Currency Manager is doing down here is, if the Currency Manager, if I click on first, then the Currency Manager position equals zero. Okay, if I click on previous, I need to check. And if the current manager is at zero, then I just keep it at zero. I don't let previous go back or wrap around. And I said, else the currency manager position equals the currency position minus one. So the currency manager is keeping track of where I am. So if I'm at the fourth, it's going to say the previous one would be the fourth minus one of the third. So it is keeping track of and moving back. If I say next, then it checks to make sure that I'm not out of range. And then it says, okay, then add one. So it adds one. But what I want to check is to make sure that adding one isn't going to take me out of range. Okay? So I add one, and the currency manager position becomes zero because I'm circling. If I didn't want to say circle, then I put something in there that said, you've reached the end. Or I could have positioned it for next, always go to the last one. I can choose how I want to position it. Okay? And then if I say last, I go to the count minus one. Because again, counts always work different than indexes. Okay. So that allows me to go back and forth and around as I'm doing this. So that's another way to manipulate, is to use the currency manager. I could write my own code the way I did on the first one. On the first one, I only had go to the next, but I could have set up all those buttons and handled it myself with the row index. Okay. But here I'm saying, I'm going to do the fill box using the data binding, add the text, the donor DT ID number. And when I'm using binding, that's the way I can set it up. If you compare that to the first one that I did, it's the first one I was handling a little bit more. I'm starting out and saying I'm going to bind this to the currency manager. It's going to be able to keep track of it. And then I'm continuing that binding and saying fill text boxes I want to add. And I'm putting the ID number into the donor DT. And it is text. So this is just another way to manipulate. Okay. If you bring up the first one, instead of this, this would be file open. Does anybody remember what the first one was called? Binding something. Because I was doing the binding.
mine don't click. Okay, so these are the different ways that you do it. In the first one, I just said, donate key, the rows, use the row index that I'm keeping track of. So I'm handling the row index ID number, and that's the way I write it. If I am using the binding, they give me a different syntax to use, which is text ID number, data binding, and. So they just are giving me a different syntax because I'm turning over control essentially to the currency manager. And the currency manager is managing things. So I'm turning the control over to it and binding it to that. But I could have come back here and done a next, whatever, and done a next, and done a previous, and done a first, and a last, using my row index, and I could have handled it just fine myself, as opposed to using the binding. And what have I done with this? And then the next one, yeah, we've got enough time to look at one more. Two tables. Oh no, combine with SQL. I think that's the one I wanted. Combine with SQL. Okay. Okay, first of all, if you look at my select statement here, and I'm going to spend a little time next week looking at, on Thursday rather, looking at relational databases. I know you've been there, but others have not. Okay, so this one has the combination of, I'm saying, select name, which is on the donor table.
drive name, which is on the drive table, contribution date, which is on the donation table. So I'm taking, in this case, I decided to take one field from each of the tables just because I needed to be able to see that it worked. Okay, so those are the three things that I've got. I've got show me the name, which came from the donor table, the drive name that came from the drive table, and the contribution date that came from the donation table. Okay, so I have got the donor table, the donation table, and the drive table. Okay? The donor table has an ID number, and that's the primary key. Okay? The drive table has a drive number, and that is its primary key. The donation table has an ID number, a drive number, and a date of the contribution that make up the primary key. Okay? The donor table has other things about the donor. The drive table has other things about the drive. This has contribution amount, I think is what it's called. C-O-N-T amount, I think is what it's called. Actually, that I think is contribution date too, so. Yeah, I managed to get that wrong too. I do this one often enough, you'd really think I'd remember what I called them. Okay, so that's the drive number. And this is the contribution date. Okay, so the three things that I want is I want the name. So name is also on here. So I want the name. I want the contribution date. And I want the drive name. Okay, so those are the three fields that I want. And I'm taking them from three different tables. So I have to explain how the tables link. So I said, I want to see the name, the drive name, and the contribution date. Those are the three things I want to see. From those three tables, donor, donation, and drive, where the donor ID is equal to the donation ID. So where I link the ID on the donor table to the ID on the donation table, and where I link the drive number, and you'd never know that was drive number, to the drive number over there. So I am linking the drive number on the donation table to the drive number on the drive table. And that's making the links between those tables, okay? So I'm giving all that information in the select. I'm saying select the name, the drive name, the contribution date from those three tables. And now I'm going to tell you how they link. The ID number on the donor table should match the ID number on the donation table. And the drive number on the donation table should match the drive number on the drive table. And so it links those together. And I can convey all that in the select, and that's why knowing how the select works is important, okay, when you come to databases. And there is also a section in the chapter in the book that deals with databases that goes through SQL. And so I'd also recommend taking a look at that. Okay? We're going to look at a little more SQL, as I said, on Thursday as we continue on with this. Okay? But the important thing I have to tell it is I want to select these three fields from these three tables, and these are the way the tables are connected. And that's the important thing that I have to tell it. Then once I've got that set up, I am going to fill. But this time, instead of using a table, I used a data set. Even though I'm only going to have one thing, I still use the data set. And so down here, when I have my data source, I have to tell it the data source, specifically table zero. Even though there's only one table, I still need to tell it that it's table zero, or I still should tell it that it's table zero. Okay, if I have, and you'll see examples where there's multiple tables, then I can do something with table zero and table one if I've got two tables. But here I put it all together in one select. And so it is kind of, by the time it gets down here and is filling the data, it has it all together as one collection. And so I can say table zero. And as I said, we want to look at more SQL examples kind of like this and talk a little bit more about databases. So in your spare time, it would be worthwhile reading the chapter, the part of the chapter that goes into SQL if you don't know SQL, and the part of the chapter that goes into creating a database. Okay. And I'm going to go over those two things Thursday, and I don't know if we'll look at any more examples or whether we'll wait and get to those on Tuesday. It depends on how much time we have. This is the next to the last major topic. We will look vaguely at the print file, but this topic, and then the next thing we're going to do is web pages. And so we've got a couple of weeks for each of them, which is exactly where I like to be, so we're in good shape. Okay. Does that